Hello?
Very, very, very warm welcome to one and all to Sittingbourne Baptist Church. Whether you are a regular here, or you're a visitor for the first time, or indeed you're watching on the video stream. So everyone is welcome this morning. Well, I have to say, it's a very, 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 very busy service today, and a very, very, very busy bit after the service, because we're going to have our members meeting straight after, well, almost straight after the service. Have time for a cup of tea first. Have time for a cup of tea and some biscuits. That would be nice. And then we'll have our members meeting, which also includes our AGM meeting and deacons' elections. So this these members meetings is for members only. So if you're not a church member, you're quite welcome to, after the service, stay behind, have a cup of tea, some biscuits, but then we'll come in after that and we'll start our begin our members meeting. If you do want, if you have been coming a short time and you do wish to become a church member, then I understand that there's some forms in the foyer at the front there, so do pick one of those up on the way out. So let's come to a time of prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for bringing us all together this morning. Lord, it's a special time. It's a special time of baptism, special time of communion. It's a special time of praising and worshipping you. It's a special time of hearing your word being expounded to us. Lord, we are here this morning because of you and for you. Lord, I pray that you would accept our worship this morning, that it will, the sound and everything that goes on will rise up to heaven, Lord, and will be acceptable and a sweet savour to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, so we'll have a time of communion, followed by baptism, and both of those are going to be led by our minister, Nathan Gordon. So I'm just going to read a bit of scripture. Now, before I start reading this, I'm just going to give you a background to the story. So the disciple Philip has just been instructed by the Holy Spirit to run out into the desert, and there he's going to meet someone. Now, just how it happens that in the desert, there's an Ethiopian in a chariot, and he's just making his way from Jerusalem. And he catches up with this chariot. And he said to the Ethiopian eunuch that was in the chariot, what's that you're reading? And he said, well, I'm reading from the scriptures. And he said, do you understand? Philip said, do you understand what you're reading? And the Ethiopian said, well, how can I? Let someone come up and explain it to me. So Peter entered into the chariot. And this is the place where the Ethiopian eunuch was reading. And this is taken from Acts 8, verse 32. Philip, sorry. Acts 8, verse 32. The place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of another man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And the Ethiopian eunuch answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he was baptized. So that's the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. All you need to do to be baptized in this verse, I believe, said the Ethiopian eunuch, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So with that in mind, let's stand and sing the song, Take Us to the River.
Take us there in unity to sing the song of your salvation.
Okay, please take your seats as I invite Nathan to take over the service.
Thank you, Brian, and good morning to each and every one of you. Hey, good to see you all, so many of you here today. And this is the day that the Lord has made. And we are here to rejoice and be glad in it. And in the words of the psalmist, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go in to the house of the Lord. We are here to give God thanks and to give him praise. And as I was thinking about today, this is a wonderful, wonderful time to celebrate together as a church. Because today on full display, we see the full gospel message. New birth. The good news of Jesus Christ. His death, his burial, his resurrection. And also the symbol that is of water baptism that points to the good news of Jesus Christ. And today we're going to celebrate believers' baptism for Charles and also for Bradley. So welcome to you both and to your family and friends. We're so grateful that you are here, and in just a moment, we are going to lead them into the waters of baptism to be baptized. But before we do that, we are going to now come together as one family, and we're going to draw close to the table of communion. If you're here today and you have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and you know him for yourself as Lord and Savior, then you are warmly invited to partake of this sacred meal. But if you're not yet at that place, then we would just encourage you to allow this meal to pass you by until you come into the full knowledge of Jesus Christ for yourself. I'm going to ask our deacons to come and to join me as we prepare to serve the elements of communion. Okay. Kuda. Amen. I'm going to ask one of our deacons to come and just pray a prayer of thanks for the bread and for the wine. Thank you, Richard.
Father, we remember that we have no place at this table that we deserve. Mm. Father, we remember that there are things in our lives that we are embarrassed about. There are things in our life that do not glorify you. And we remember that there was a cost paid to have a place at this table through the sacrifice and death of Jesus Christ for the things that are wrong in our lives. Mm. And Father, we're grateful that through that death, that price can be paid for the wrong in our lives. And Father, we're grateful that 3 days later, yes, he rose from the grave. Mm. And that today we can be nourished and given strength for the race that we run in our lives. And Father, we're grateful. Would you feed us now with the bread of life? Amen.
Amen. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the church at Corinth, he records these words in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I have received of the Lord that which I also now deliver unto you, that the same night that our Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took bread. And after giving thanks, he said to his friends, his disciples, take and eat, for this is my body, which is broken for each of you. This do ye in remembrance of me. Well, church, as you are now served with what represents the broken body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, please do take your bread and eat it as you receive it and be thankful in your hearts. Amen. Jesus Christ broken for you. In like manner, Jesus then took the cup and he said these words, "This cup is the new covenant. It's the new testament that will now be in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink of it. Do it in remembrance of me. For as oft as we eat of the bread and we drink from this cup, we do show forth and proclaim the Lord's death until he has promised to come back again." Amen. Well, friends, as you now served with what represents the shed blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, please do retain your cup until we've all been served, and then we'll partake together as a sign of our Christian unity through Jesus Christ. Amen. Just think of that before we drink, that each and every one of us, we can come boldly before his throne. Now there are no barriers in the way Why? Because of the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
And because of his blood, you and I can come boldly to him without any barrier in the way. Let us drink together now the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Bible lets us know that after they had partaken, they sang a hymn as they went out to the Mount of Olives. We're going to continue in song in just a moment, but before we do that, it is such a privilege to invite our candidates for baptism to come, and they are first going to share their testimony of why they are making this decision to be baptized today. So Bradley is going to come first, and he's going to share with us his testimony.
Okay. Good morning, church. Today is a profound moment for me, one where words almost fall short in expressing the depth of my emotions. As I stand here on this special day of my baptism, I am humbled to share the glimpse of my journey. For a long time, I felt guided presence in my life and an unseen force that gently nudged me through both joyous and challenging times. It's only in recent months that I have come to recognise that it was the hand of God quietly and steadfastly leading me along this path. In moments of adversity, I felt his guidance lifting me, carrying me through my toughest moments. And today I stand before you, brought to the doors of this church by his divine guidance. But God's blessings didn't stop there. Through this journey, I've been gifted with incredible new friends who embrace me warmly, making me feel as if I've always belonged among them. Their presence has been a testament to God's grace. As I take this significant step of baptism, I am filled with gratitude for the guiding hand that has brought me here and for the beautiful souls that now surround me. I am blessed beyond measure, and I look forward to continuing this journey guided by faith and the love of those that are around me. Thank you for being a part of this.
Amen. Thank you, Bradley. And now we welcome Charles, who's going to share his testimony with us.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Honestly, thank you for this opportunity. It's not easy. You know, I know where I come from. I just want to thank God. He's been faithful to me and my family. Even without surrendering myself to him, he's been faithful to me. So how much more will he do for me if I surrender myself to him? My mom's life, I like to use my mom's life as a case study. You know, she's a very strong woman, and she brought me in the way of the Lord. 2019 was a very, very tough year for me. You know, she had cancer. I was scared. I started smoking. I was smoking because I couldn't deal with it. I woke up in the morning and I see my mom. I thought I would lose her. And then one day, I went on my knees. Because I went to the hospital with her, and I saw different people, you know, so sick, even people who had cancer, and people who died, you know. And I said to myself, I kneel down in my room, I said, God, if you keep my mom safe, if you spare her life, then I'll serve you. I just want to thank God that she beat cancer. She's here today. So, I just want to give myself to God, and He's been faithful. He's been faithful. I've not surrendered myself to Him, and He's been faithful. So I just want to see what He's going to do for me if I surrender myself to Him. Thank you.
Thanks, God. What a powerful, powerful two sets of testimonies there. That even through pain, even through adversity, that we can testify that the Lord will always be there and He will see us through the ups and the downs. Bradley's going to come first now. He's going to be led into the waters of baptism by Paul and Richard.
Bradley, do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
I do.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your own personal Saviour and Lord?
I do.
Do you commit yourself to following and serving Christ in His church and in the world?
I do.
Bradley, on profession of your faith and at your own request, we baptise you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Charles, do you believe in one God,
permission.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
Yes, I do.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your own personal Saviour and Lord?
Yes, I do.
Do you commit yourself to following and serving Christ in His church and in the world?
Yes, I do.
Charles, on profession of your faith and at your own request, we baptise you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We thank God for Charles and we thank God for Bradley. What a beautiful, beautiful time to celebrate with them. And we're also going to celebrate now three new members who are going to receive the right hand of fellowship. So we are growing as a family and we thank God for that. So I'm going to invite Sarah and Jerry Ralph to come up, and they are rejoining us as members of the church. Come on up, Sarah and Jerry. And also Victoria. Victoria, come on up, Victoria. A pack for you. you just come out so they can see, come out a little bit for, out into the front. That's it. That's right. We are so grateful to welcome these wonderful people to the church, and we want them to know that they are loved, that we are praying for them, and that they are most of all welcome here for God to use them for his glory and for them to be heavily involved in the ministry here of this church. So you are so welcome. And it's my privilege and honor now to extend to you the right hand of fellowship. Welcome in the name of the Lord. Welcome. Sarah, welcome in the name of the Lord. Welcome. Bless you. You may take your seats. Let's just say a short prayer for these wonderful people. Lord, we thank you so much that you have drawn Lord Victoria, Jerry, and Sarah to us. Lord, we pray that you would just continue to bless them and encourage them each day. And we pray that each and every day, Lord, that they will be reminded that you are with them, that you will never leave nor forsake them. And as a local church body here in Sittingbourne, we pray that we would rally around them, that they would know that they are well supported and prayed for here, that, Lord, that we will be that friend that sticks closer than a brother. Lord, would you just surround them with your grace and bless them each day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to hand the service back over to our worship leader. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Nathan. Yes, worship team, please come back to the stage. Communion and baptism, both very powerful witnesses to our Lord and Saviour. And I'm sure that all of you will probably remember, depending on how long ago it was, your own baptism and how special a time that it was. And of course, joining a church, a new church family. So I would encourage you all just to greet those that have been baptised today, to welcome them, and to those that have joined our church family here this morning. So, we come to that special time of the morning where I need to ask the children, our young people, if any have had a birthday in the last few days, or... No, don't put your hands up yet, it's too early, I haven't finished. If either had a birthday in the last few days, or even in the next few days to come. Any takers? One?
No.
And two? Do I hear any more than two? Two? Any more than two? Three? No? Three? Two will do. Let's come down, please, if you can. Come down. So we can see who the birthday people are. One's really small. I'm not sure that they would make it down here on their own. Some others coming as well. Oh, look at you. You. Good morning. And when was your birthday?
3 days ago.
3 days ago. Okay, that comes within that window. Well done. And how old are you today?
Nine.
9 years old. That's a good age, nine. I was 9 months. I remember it well. And sorry, I forgot to ask you your name. Tell everyone your name. David. Lovely. David, did you celebrate your birthday in any particular way? What did you do? It was memorable, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay.
I opened my presents on the
third day. Nice, yeah.
The second day.
You had a second day of celebration. 3 days of celebration. That's not bad, is it? I got one when I was nine. So second, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, you're sharing with your friends. Brilliant. That's what I like to hear. So, David, come and choose a gift. A gift from the church. Oh, he went for the football. I'm not sure he's taken it, though. Have a look around.
No, not your colour that bad then. You can have a football if you want, or there's a... I'll have the one at the bottom. Okay. Well done, David. Stay there, because we're going to sing Happy Birthday in a moment. And who's this young one?
This is Ted
June. Hello. And how... And how old is she?
It's a boy.
Boy, sorry, beg your pardon. 2 years old.
Yeah.
And when was two?
The 6th. 6th,
all right. Is that yours as well?
Yeah.
All right, now I'm going to ask you, do you remember when you were 2 years old?
No.
No, I can't remember two years old either. Okay, that's lovely. Would you like to pick a gift from... You'll come back after... Okay, stay there, we're going to sing Happy Birthday. 2 years old. God. Right, shall we sing Happy Birthday, Linda? And with that, I'll ask the children to leave into their groups. You all go to your groups, and I pray that you are blessed with what you are shared, what was shared with you this morning. Father, I thank you for the witnesses that we have had this morning that witness your powerful death, burial, and resurrection, and that you are alive forevermore. And because you were raised from the dead, because you paid the price for our sin on the cross, Lord, we can come boldly before your throne this morning. You have made salvation available to us all. Lord, and I pray that with this message, that we as your church can be more effective in going out into the town, into the cities, and into the world, Lord, to proclaim your gospel message of salvation. There is truly no message that is more important in this earth than the gospel message of salvation. And what you have done on the cross, Lord, you did what we could not do. And we remember that of the hope that it gives us and the promise. It's the promise of eternal life, to be with you forever and ever in heaven. Lord, and we thank you for the communion of flesh and blood, of bread and wine, Lord, that reminds us as often as we eat and drink and partake of your death, burial, and resurrection. Lord, we thank you for the hope that you give us. Lord, it is the only hope that's worth grabbing hold of and holding close. Lord, I pray that we are always able to remember, never to forget. Lord, and I pray that each one of us here will be blessed this morning just at the reminder of what you have done on the cross, something so important that it should be proclaimed every week, every month, every year, and every day. And so we thank you, Lord, for what you've done for each and every single one of us. And we give you all the praise, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So before Nathan comes and opens up the Word of God to us, we're going to sing two songs together. The first one being, "Yet Not I, But Christ Through Me." So if you're able, please stand and sing with us.
Sing.
Let's now sing about His amazing grace. Take your seats.
Amen. Thank you so much, Brian, and thank you, worship team, for leading us this morning in worship. And greetings to you all again in the wonderful name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. To him be all the glory. Amen. I'm not going to be before you long today. I'm not going to preach a full sermon today because we do have a full day ahead of us and other business after this service, but I do want to leave a few points with you to take home by way of encouragement today. But before I do so, I just want to share a very brief statement on behalf of myself and the leadership team of the church. Both myself and the deacons are aware that a number of concerns were raised at some of the content that was shared during last week's sermon by our guest preacher, Reverend Eric Peterson. And I just want to publicly acknowledge that we are aware that there were some points raised during the sermon last week that were not in keeping with biblical teaching. And for that, we apologize. In particular, some of the points raised concerning the existence of heaven and hell as distinct places, I would like to remind us as a church from the words of Jesus himself, according to John chapter 14, who said these words, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house there are many rooms. And if it were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be where I am." Amen. Amen. So, as your minister and pastor, I believe personally, my personal conviction, that heaven and hell are distinct places. And I believe that that is consistent throughout Scripture. However, in closing, I must also say that there were other parts of the sermon last week that were encouraging. And we certainly want to highlight that and thank God for the ministry of Eric Peterson and his commitment to serve the Lord and his church over a number of years. And we're going to close now with just a prayer for Eric. Let's pray for him now. Father, we first of all want to thank you for Eric. Thank you so much, Lord, that he has responded to your call. And for a number of years, many years, Lord, he has, Lord, served you and sought to do your bidding. And we just thank you for him. Thank you for his willingness to come here from time to time and to preach your word. But we do acknowledge, Lord, that some of the content last week perhaps was not, Lord, in full keeping with the counsel of your word. And Lord, we corporately, Lord, want to affirm afresh that, Lord, we believe wholeheartedly in your word, that we want to rightly divide your word. And we pray, Lord, for Eric and for all of us as preachers, that, Father, we would do the best we can each opportunity that we have to preach your word without fear and without favor. Lord, we do pray for the congregation as a whole, for the membership here and for all those who heard the message last week, Lord, both here in person and also online. We pray, Lord, that none will be deterred from you. None will be deterred from your truth. That, Father, we would fix our eyes upon Jesus and we would look full in your beautiful face. We thank you now, and would you just continue to surround us, Lord, with your wisdom so that we can, Lord, rightly divide your word of truth and apply your word to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I just want to leave this with you this morning as we continue our sermon series entitled Family Issues. And in Genesis chapter 37, a very familiar story concerning young Joseph and his family, the family of Jacob. And I just want to leave this with you today before we have our close out with two songs from our baptism, those who were baptized, Charles and also Bradley. We're going to hear their songs today. In Genesis chapter 37, in verse number 5, it says, Joseph had a dream. Joseph had a dream. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. They hated him all the more. And after telling them about his dream, look what the response in verse 8 to the dream from his brothers. It says, his brothers said to him, do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? And they hated him all the more because of his dream. They hated him all the more because of his dream. Today our topic, church, as we draw this service to a close, I want you to go home with this in mind. What do you do when you cannot stand your brother or sister? What do you do when you cannot stand your brother or sister? And this is applicable to those of you here who have siblings. But also if you do not have siblings, this can be applicable in your platonic relationships and friendships, amongst your peers, other relatives. What do you do when you just don't see eye to eye? What do you do when there's tension in the family? And even in the church. Because it would be nice for me to stand up here and say the church is always just rosy and no tension, no disagreements. We're always singing from the same hymn sheet. But the reality is, as we know, that's not always the case. And it's interesting, Professor Sean D. Whitehead, who is a professor in human development, he lets us know that all of us as humans, that we learn very, very quickly, even in our young years, we learn very quickly what he calls the art of comparison. We learn very quickly how to compare ourselves with other people. But the challenge with comparison is if we become so fixated on comparing ourselves with other people and focusing all of our attention with keeping up with the Joneses, then if we're not careful, we can allow comparison to grow and fester into jealousy. And then if we don't deal with jealousy, jealousy can grow, develop legs, and grow into bitterness. Starts with comparison, looking at others, looking at what they do, looking at what they have accomplished. Then jealousy begins to set in. And then just like the brothers of Joseph, if we don't deal with jealousy, then that can morph into bitterness. And when you and I exhibit the characteristics of bitterness, then lo and behold, we can do and say some really mean things. Our actions become bitter. Our mood becomes bitter. As William Penn, he puts it this way, the jealous are troublesome to others, but a torment to themselves. Think about that. Jealousy, if left unchecked, it's as almost as if you are tormenting yourselves. As Solomon puts it this way, he says, a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy, jealousy, is like rottenness in the bones. So in closing this morning, I want to encourage you all as we leave today to search within our hearts. And before we utter those words, oh, I can't stand him, I can't stand her, I want us to leave this morning by searching our hearts and seeing, is there a problem, not just with them, but first and foremost, is there a problem in our hearts? Have we allowed comparison to grow into jealousy? And then have we allowed jealousy to grow into bitterness? But the Lord, church, he wants us to be free from bitterness. He wants us to be free from jealousy, free from comparison, and allow his love, his undiluted love, to shine bright in our hearts, that we view our family members, we view our brothers and sisters in the church, and yes, even those annoying ones. Yes, even those who may drive us up the wall. God wants us to have a pure heart, pure motives towards everyone that we come across. So I want to leave with you number one in your notes. Before you allow comparison to grow into jealousy and jealousy to grow into bitterness, number one, take this on board. Remember, you are special in the Heavenly Father's eyes. Can we say that together? Remember, you are special, Heavenly Father's eyes. You see, for Joseph's brothers, they were so fixated on what Jacob, their father, was doing for Joseph, that they were so preoccupied with the fact that Jacob had signaled and earmarked Joseph out from the rest, that he had blessed him with this fancy coat of many colors, that he had shown favoritism towards Joseph, the child that was born to him in his old age. And now, don't get me wrong, that was wrong. Jacob, perhaps, if he was here, could reflect and look back and say, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have showed favoritism to Joseph. But the other brothers, they were so focused on what Jacob was doing to Joseph and the love that Jacob was showing to Joseph from an earthly father's perspective, that they took their eyes off the fact that they were loved and valued by their heavenly father. And so it is in all of our lives. When we look over at our neighbors and we say that the grass is greener on the other side, in doing so, we take our eyes off the fact that God loves us in a special and a unique way. We have to recognize as God's people that we are loved with such an unconditional and deep love. He values us. You are cherished. You are loved. So don't allow favoritism. Don't allow the elevation of other people to make you think that you are not special, to make you think that you don't count, to make you think that you don't deserve. But every time you feel insignificant, all you have to do is take a look at the love that God has for you. The very fact, as we've been celebrating today, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died on the cross. And who did he die for? For you. Some have said that if there was only one person to die for, he still would have come. That is the love that God has for us. So be encouraged. Maybe, you know, life was difficult for you growing up as a kid. Maybe you didn't have two loving parents in your families. Maybe you had siblings that were cruel to you. Maybe you had to grow up with mean words said in the house. But I want to encourage you, even if your earthly parents, even if they fell short at showing you the love that you deserved, please know that you are deeply loved and valued by your heavenly Father. But secondly, not only should we remember that we are special in the Heavenly Father's eyes, but finally, we need to recognize the need to celebrate others. You see, the challenge for Joseph's brothers is when Joseph shared with them the dreams that he was having, that his sheaves of grain would rise up and the others would bow down to him. And when he shared it with his brothers, they were, what is he talking about? And then he shared it with his father. And his father too was like, Joseph, man, I know I love you with favoritism, but now you're getting out of hand here. Do you think, are you saying that even I, your father and your mother, we're all going to come and bow down to you? But even in our lives, there are times where we may feel a sense of jealousy creeping up in our lives when we see others around us being blessed. When we see others around us having these wonderful dreams and being inspired, and it seems like their lives is on an upward trajectory. And sometimes if we're not careful, we can look at how other people are being elevated and promoted. Joseph would one day become the ruler in Egypt. But yet still, his brothers and even his father were struggling to come to terms with this dream. You mean to tell me that we're going to bow down to you? But I want to encourage you in closing that when we see other people around us growing and we see that they're doing well in life, we've got to be careful that we don't allow those jealous eyes to cause us to become bitter in our hearts. To make us think, you know what? Should have been me. I should have got the job. I should have been promoted. I should have that nice house that they are living in. Even amongst your siblings, you may be looking at your brother or sister and thinking, should have been me. I should have the family. I should have the nice car. I should have the nice job. But God has called us not to have that jealous eye, but he has called us even to celebrate others. To say, thank God for you. We praise God for what God is doing in your life. Because as an old preacher said to me once, he said, if God is blessing your neighbor, then you should rejoice, because that lets you know that God is in the neighborhood. So why should I be envious and jealous at you, Brian, because God is blessing you? That lets me know if I come alongside you and I rejoice with you, Brian, then the same God that is blessing Brian can bless me too. Amen. God wants us to celebrate others. So I want to leave that with you today. Maybe you are struggling and you've struggled throughout the years in your family units with sibling rivalry. Always trying to get one over on your brother and your sister. Or maybe even amongst your friends and even within the church, maybe you've been looking that side eye at your sister, your brother, looking at what they have, looking at what they do. Maybe God is saying, now is the time. We've got to deal with that comparison. We've got to deal with that jealousy so that we don't become bitter. Because God wants us to have pure motives and a pure heart towards him. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. And Lord, we recognize, just like in the family of Jacob, there too can be dysfunction even in our families. And we do pray that you would help us to navigate through those times. Lord, when there are difficult conversations to be had. Lord, when there are feelings of animosity. Lord, would you give us wisdom so that we don't allow comparison to grow into jealousy. and then allow jealousy to cause us to become bitter. Lord, help us to learn from the story of Joseph's brothers who sold their brother out into slavery, who even wanted to kill him if it wasn't for Reuben who spoke up and said, don't kill him. Lord, help us not to want to do away with our brothers, do away with our sisters. Help us not to speak harsh words against each other, but help us to celebrate each other, the good things that you are doing in our lives. And yes, Lord, if you are doing great things in the lives of others, then help us to rejoice, because that lets us know that you are in the neighborhood. So we thank you now as we leave this place, that, Lord, we would not go out looking and comparing our lives to other people, but we would look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to close out with the two songs that Bradley and Charles have submitted to play. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray the benediction, and then we're going to have these songs played. And please feel free to listen, or if you want to go out to get a tea and coffee, then please do that. And I'll be on the door to greet all of you, those of you who are leaving now. And just reminder to members, we will convene our members meeting and AGM. It's now 11:44. So if we say 5 past 12, is that okay? Is that enough time to get a cup of tea and cup of coffee?
Yeah.
Good. Okay. See, I want you to get home and have your lunch, you see. That's what it is, okay? So we don't want to keep you too long. So receive now the benediction, and then we're going to have these two songs played. And now unto him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us one day faultless before the glory of his presence, with exceeding great joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion and power, both now, henceforth, and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you all.
I search the world.